Today is Saturday, the 1st of April, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 76th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And with us, we have today Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, representing Nisararamane Forest Monastery, joining into the program to provide much insight and information and advice on mindfulness practice. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bhante with much respect into today's session. Along with that, I would also like to welcome all those of you who are attending through Zoom and also through the live stream over the Satipasala Foundation's Facebook page. And with that, I would also like to give a small run-up as to the schedule of the program. We would start with an in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, after which we will go to the question and answer session, where we would present written and verbal questions and reports to Bhante for advice. So, to commence things off, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. So we will start today's program with a mindful sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your posture. If you feel comfortable, you can turn on video and join more actively. Sit in a comfortable manner, adjust your posture. And when you have comfort in your sitting, you can close your eyes and be aware. Calmly notice what is happening, what comes to your attention when you be aware like this. You may feel various things when you are aware. Maybe you hear the surrounding sounds, a variety of sounds from the surrounding you feel. Apart from the sounds, you may notice your bodily sensations as well. Just turn your attention towards the body and see what is there. Probably you feel the pressure on your back, the pressure on your legs. In addition, the breathing happening inside your body, probably as a movement of your stomach or chest, or maybe touching your nostrils. Some of you might even feel some kind of a vibration, similar to a heartbeat. time to time, your attention may go to thoughts, various mental images, future planning, and sometimes you may feel sleepy. Some of you might feel pain, aches inside your body. Let them pass naturally while you being aware that you are seated, while you being aware that you are breathing. We don't encourage anything, we don't suppress anything. Instead, we just practice being aware. Now let's try to stay in this manner for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can slowly open your eyes again. So that's about 15 minutes of mindful sitting. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. At least try to reserve some time daily, 15, 20 minutes at least, to sit mindfully in this manner. So with that, Namanta, you can take over.
Okay, thank you very much, Maritz Bhante. So next we have the talk on mindfulness for today based on the topic anger. I would like to invite Bhante on behalf of all of us to start with the talk on mindfulness for today. Over to Bhante again. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, so we can take some time to discuss today's topic and relate it to the practice that we are doing. So today's topic or this month's topic is anger. I know most of you can relate to this topic, of course. This is very much familiar to us. This is a problem in our day-to-day life. Even the person who is talking, me, I too can relate to this topic. Anger, right? So that's there. And we have to somehow find a way to deal with it. Now, when we think about the times that we get angry, when we think about them, there's something common to these situations. There's a gap between our expectations and reality. We expect something that doesn't happen that way and we get angry. Sometimes we expect people to behave in a certain way. If that's not happening, we get angry. We expect to receive certain things. If that's not happening, we get angry. So there is always a gap between the expectations and the reality. That gap creates anger within us. More higher the gap is, more angry we become. So that's how naturally the anger happens. There's always a reason for that. Sometimes we say this person did this, so I am angry. Sometimes we may say this happened, so I am angry. Always there's something happened or some person behaving in a way that we don't expect them to do so. So that's the reasoning behind anger. That's how usually anger is triggered. When the anger is triggered, you can see that your body is going through a rapid change. Usually when we are angry, we can easily see the signs of anger in our body. We notice that our body is burning up. We notice that our heartbeat is going up. We notice various other symptoms of anger in our body. Almost like a poison, the anger works. It drives our body probably to an extreme. And we can really feel it in our body. We can feel the burning temperature. We can feel the heartbeat rising. We can feel the energy rushing through us. So in a way, the symptoms of anger, we can easily notice in our body. And when it happens, probably like 5-10 minutes, if you stay angry, then those effects may last for a few hours, even the whole day. We can feel these effects are there. The result of anger is there. That we can easily feel throughout the day, throughout few hours. So this is a problem that we are facing. Every day we are facing this problem. In a way, it is said that anger is more like drinking poison on your own and expecting the other person to die. You drink poison on your own and you are expecting somebody else to die. That is what anger is like. When you are angry for a few minutes, you can really feel the poison inside your body. It's almost like you injected a poison into your body. You can feel that your body is driven to the extreme. Longer you stay, harder it becomes for your body. Because your body is in overdrive. It is in an extreme. You can really feel it. So in a way, the body responds to anger more like similar to a poison. It's almost like injecting a poison inside your body. But the purpose of doing that, you want the other person to die. You are not harming yourself. That's not your intention. You want the society to suffer. You want the other person to suffer. You want somebody else to suffer. You get angry. You blame them. You shout at them. Sometimes you go and hit them. You are injecting this poison to your body and you expect the others to die. You expect the people who has done something to die. So that's almost like anger. That's how it is acting in our body. When somebody does something, we get angry. We want to blame that person. We want to take revenge from that person. In the process of doing that, you get angry. You drive your body and mind to that extreme. And you can feel the symptoms appear inside your body. So that's a good observation that you can do in your day-to-day life. Try to notice the occasions that you get angry. Try to notice the reasoning behind that anger. Most of the time, you can see that gap in between the expectations and reality. You can see the reasoning. You can notice the reasoning. You expected this person to behave in a certain way. If that person is not behaving, then you get angry. You expect certain things to be in a certain way. And if they are not in that way, not in that order, you get angry. So always you can see the reason in the trigger. Trigger is usually the gap between the expectations and the reality. Then as the second step, you can notice how the anger appear in your body. What are the symptoms of your anger? You can feel the burning body. You can feel the heartbeat rising. You can feel the energy rushing through you. So these are symptoms of the anger or symptoms of the poison that you have injected. So that's a nice way to keep track of anger. In a way, we try to be mindful of the occasions that these things are happening. We try to be mindful about the reasoning behind the anger, the gap between the reality and the expectation. And then we try to be mindful of the effects of anger. With the change in our body, the change in our mind, and how it is even lasting for few hours, few days sometime. So that's the starting point, that you can become mindful of the occasions that you get angry, and you can become mindful of the symptoms of anger. Gradually, you keep practicing like this. Although you practice like this, I am not suggesting that you might be able to conquer anger within few days, within few weeks. It's a difficult emotion to conquer. So although you try to observe, usually you get carried away. And usually you become a slave to the anger, right? So that's natural. That is more common. Even among the practitioners, they feel like they become a slave to the anger. They have no control over it. They feel like they are ready to conquer anger. They feel like they are ready to deal with anger. But when it happens, it's so sudden, it's happening so swiftly, you have no control of it. That's fine. You don't have to get discouraged. Instead, you keep observing this process. You keep developing your mindfulness. You keep on practicing. Especially, I recommend formal meditation. That is important. It's more like preparation to deal with these things. You can't go to the battlefield and start practicing. Battlefield is no place to practice. When you go to the battlefield, you have to go prepared. You have to know your weapon. You have to know the enemy. That's how you go to the battlefield. So in a way, formal meditation is like the training period. Formal meditation is like the preparation. Every day, 15-20 minutes of sitting, at least 15-20 minutes of sitting in your daily schedule. Every day you walk so many kilometers, try to be mindful at least for a few steps. That type of a formal meditation is important. With that formal meditation, you practice again and again. You do this training. You train yourself again and again. You prepare yourself to go to the battlefield. And battlefield is more like your day-to-day life. Battlefield is more like your workplace. Battlefield is more like dealing with other people. Although you train yourself, when you go to the battlefield, you feel that you are defeated. You feel that you did something wrong. You feel that you reacted badly to a situation. That's fine. Again, you come back. Again, you train yourself. Again, you go to the battlefield. So this formal training is very important. I can't emphasize the importance enough. At least 20-30 minutes of formal meditation daily, a sitting session. At least few minutes of walking practice. That's very important. Little by little, you train yourself. Like a soldier preparing himself to go to the battle. And when you do that, after a few weeks, after a few months, you feel that your mindfulness is strengthening. In a way, there is a reason behind the triggers. Let's say anger. There's a reason behind that trigger. What is the reason? We take everything personally. Whatever happens in the surrounding, we think that it was done against me. Whatever somebody says, we think that that person is trying to hurt me. So in a way, it's our nature to take everything personally. Whatever the incidents happening, we take them personally. Whatever the people doing, we take them personally. In a way, we think that we are the center of this universe. That's your thought pattern. You think that you are the center and everything is rotating around you. But more you explore the universe, more facts that we gather, it is not the way. Now you have the photographs from the various telescopes. James Webb is the most recent one. So many photos are there suggesting that you are not the center of the universe. Instead, it's some other process that's there. You are almost negligible in this vast universe. Not even worth like a particle of dust on earth. You are almost negligible in this vast universe, and it is not functioning according to your wishes. It is not happening according to your wishes. There's some other cause behind this whole process. So that thought pattern that you think that you are the center of everything, that is the real trigger when you think about it. That's why you take everything personally. Whatever that happens in the surrounding, you take it personally. Whatever the other person tells, you take it personally. In a way, you think that you are the center of this entire thing. You feel this is me. You feel this is mine. You feel this is myself. That's how it works. So that is the real trigger. In a way, we have this bundle of things. What is this bundle? You have your physical body. Based on that physical body, you have feelings. You feel various things. then based on those feelings, you have memory, you have created memory. You know that this is good, you know that this is bad, you know that this happened in the history, you know that this way this person reacted in the history. That memory is there. And based on those things, there's thinking, of course. The thoughts are there, the emotions are there. Then finally, the consciousness, the person that knows everything, the one that identifies everything. So there are these five things in that bundle. You have your physical body, based on that you have the feelings, then the based on the feelings you have your memory, then based on the memory and the feelings you have thinking, then finally the consciousness. So this bundle is tied up together. It's tied up so tightly that you feel that this everything is me, this everything is mine, everything is myself. That's the usual thought pattern. That's how we usually think. Now, earlier I emphasized the importance of formal practice. Why do you need formal practice? Why support this practice, reserving some time for mindful walking? Why support reserving some time for mindful sitting? That's because more you practice, your mindfulness is strengthening, your practice is strengthening. With that strength, in a way, we can see through this bundle. This bundle is so tightly wrapped. But when you practice more and more, you can feel that this bundle is loosening. You can feel that there's a gap in between. You can feel that there's a separation in between. Earlier you thought that this is so solid. Earlier you thought that this is me, this is mine, this is myself. That's your thought pattern. But now you see that it's not so solid. It's a collection of things. It's not a single thing. It's not so solid. Instead, it is a collection of tiny, tiny things. That view, that seeing through, will happen with the strong practice. So in a way, in textbook, they separate it into two. They say liberation through concentration. They say liberation through wisdom. Although it is separated into two, these are supporting factors. Concentration is supporting the wisdom, and the wisdom is supporting concentration. So in a way, there's no separation through pure concentration. In a way, there's no separation through pure wisdom. Both the factors are there, but at a certain stage, concentration is more powerful. At a certain stage, the wisdom is more powerful. So these factors, they are helping to see through this bundle of things. They are helping to see through this solid self. More you practice, these faculties will grow. So for a beginner, we suggest just walk mindfully and see what is happening. Just notice your walking body. For a beginner, we suggest sit in a comfortable manner, close your eyes gently and notice your body. You may feel your steps touching the ground. You may feel that you are breathing, that your body is breathing. So when you feel those things, we suggest that try to be attentive of your breath for a longer period. Try to be aware of your steps for a longer period. Try to observe more and more breath cycles. Try to observe more and more steps in a mindful manner. You can keep observing. When you have that approach, at a certain time, you can feel that concentration is improving. At a certain time, you can feel that wisdom is improving. So in a way, we keep our mind open and see what faculty is progressing, what faculty is in front, what faculty is taking control. Sometimes you feel that everything is distant and you are calmly sitting, your body is calmly breathing, your attention is only your breath. So at those occasions, you can really feel that your concentration is having the upper hand, or the concentration has taken the lead. At a certain sitting session, you can feel that your body is like paining, aching, your mind is everywhere. Your thoughts are happening again and again, various sounds, incidents, images happening. So you feel like this practice is not working. But maybe now, not the concentration, but faculty of wisdom is having more control in the process. You can feel that wisdom is leading the practice. So these are different occasions. So you can't really focus on your concentration and only develop concentration. You can't only focus on the wisdom and only develop wisdom. That's not how it evolves. Those are misconceptions in the practice. Some people, they say, I am only concentration focused. I'm only practicing concentration. Some people, they say, I'm only practicing wisdom. I don't do concentration. Those are misconceptions in the practice. Instead, you keep an open mind. What is the open mind? The mindfulness. That you be aware, you try to notice what is happening. If the breath is noticeable, you notice the breath. If the steps are noticeable, you notice the steps. Then you can see, okay, today, you can feel that your mind is more concentrated. Or today you can feel that your mind is more wisdom biased. So these are interconnected faculties that are helping each other. You can't have pure concentration. You can't have pure wisdom. How can you see through? How can you liberate your mind without wisdom? How can you see through? How can you liberate your mind without concentration? Both are related faculties. Both are supporting each other. So in a way, we have to have the openness in our mind. If you have that open mind, then you go to the sitting and see which faculties are taking control. Certain occasions, the concentration is there. Certain occasions, the wisdom is there. Although the wisdom is there, you can't say that concentration is not there. Although the concentration is there, you can't say wisdom is not there. It's just that concentration is taking the lead. It's just that wisdom is taking the lead. So in a way, they say that you can liberate through concentration. You can liberate through wisdom. These are not the same, but these are not separate as well. In a way, they are connected. In a way, they are not connected. So that's how the practice is progressing. You just have to give your control to the mindfulness and see how the practice is going. Keep an open mind and sit. Have an open mind and start walking. And when you walk, when you sit, you can see today this is how it works. Tomorrow it might be difficult. It might be different tomorrow. That's fine. You practice today with an open mind. When you do your sitting again tomorrow, you have an open mind. So that way we keep practicing. We keep developing these faculties. When we develop these faculties, we can see with that strength, with that support, we are seeing through this bundle of things. This solid self we start to see the gaps in between. We start to see the spaces in between. Earlier, your viewpoint was that this is me, this is mine, this is myself. The entire universe is rotating, centering me. Now you see otherwise. Now you don't see that solid self because your faculties are improving, because your practice is strengthening. You see that this solid self is loosening a little bit. You start to see the gaps in between things. Sometimes you see that time slips. Earlier you felt like that time is continuing without gaps. But now you see suddenly few seconds, few minutes are lost. You start to see that time slips once in a while. What is happening? Now you see the gaps in between. When your mind goes through those gaps, you see the time slips. And more you practice, you start to see it more frequently. Every moment that's happening, but we are ignorant, we don't see that process. Every moment, time slips a little bit. We are so ignorant, we don't see that. We see this solid self continuing throughout time. But when you pay attention, you can really see that it's not so solid. You are seen through this bundle of things. You are starting to see the gaps in between. When that bundle is loosening up, when you start to see through that bundle, eventually as a result, you can feel that your strong grasp will reduce. What is the grasp? That you are taking me, mine, and myself. That's the grasp. That's why you get so angry. That's why you get triggered. When that grasp is reducing, naturally, you don't get triggered so much. Naturally, there's no sudden reaction. Naturally, there's not so strong reaction. Probably the reaction is there, but it's not so strong. Still the poison, that is anger, that's there, but not so strong. Still you are injecting this poison, but it is not so strong. So that change will happen naturally. That's the practice. That's why we recommend formal practice daily for few months, few years. That's why we recommend you to repetitively practice this way. And when you practice, naturally the faculties are growing. Naturally, you start to see through this bundle. This bundle will loosen naturally. When that happens, you can really see that although you get triggered, still you are getting triggered, but you are not getting triggered so strongly. You don't grasp things so strongly. Still you grasp, but you are not grasping so strongly. So that's the idea of the practice. That's you have to, of course, you can listen and understand, but the real way is to experience this. You have to practice on your own. And when you experience, you can really see how this evolution is happening inside you. So that's the initial talk for this topic. Today's talk, we have probably like few more weeks we can discuss further. To start with, I suggest that you notice what are the occasions that you get angry. You will notice that there is a gap between the expectations and the reality. Then notice what is happening when you get triggered. Notice what is happening to your body and mind. What are the reactions, the symptoms of this disease? You can feel the body burning up. You can feel the heartbeat. You can feel the energy rushing through your body. Even after a few hours, you still feel the effects of that energy, effects of that poison. So that's a good observation. That's a good way to start your practice on the anger, on these triggers. So try and practice. Next time when you come, you can share your experience with the group as well. So with that way, we will try and take this month to discuss this topic and see how we can, how we all can relate to this topic and how we all can relate this topic to the practice as well. So thank you for listening. And that's it for today.
Much merits, Bhante, for that insightful talk on mindfulness. Of course, it's an evolutionary process, not a sudden jump, as emphasized by Bhante. So next, we will move on to the question and answer session. And I would like to invite Hiranga to commence with the question and answer session. I will share.
Thank you, Namanta. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you, Namanta. Hope you all can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, great. Avasarai, Venerable Bhante, thank you very much for the very insightful talk about our topic of the month. Before read the reports, I would like to share the key instructions with the beginners join the session today and newly started practicing mindfulness. We have useful guidance how to develop the pure mindfulness on this slide here, which also going to shared by Namanta in the Zoom chat section. You can see 5 steps listed on screen has been shared currently. The first step is to go through the 2 video links in the slide under basic instruction you can watch. 2 of the key aspects of the developing our mindfulness is mindful walking and mindful sitting. So Monastery has provided basic instruction videos on these 2 forms on the slide here. 1 on mindful walking and 1 on mindful sitting guidance. How to practice mindfulness while doing an activity as mindful walking, and practice being mindful while not doing any activities as mindful sitting. Mindful daily activities also play an important role developing your mindful practice during the day to enjoy the present moment freely. The second step would be crucially depend on how you allocate your you able to allocate some time into daily schedule to practice mindfulness. I suggest that you make mindful practice your one of the top priority of the day, daily schedule. Once you grab the momentum of mindful practice, I would say start with good 10 minutes or to 10 minutes to 20 minutes as your choice, and gradually increase 1 hour each every day, both mindful walking and mindful sitting practice. Once you've done the practice or after the practice, you can write down the notes into a report as of what you have felt and experienced during the practice as a report. Write down the report as a part of our mindful practice as well. We have some reports we're going to read later. You can get an idea how reports will be formatted from them. Please send your reflection report through us, Google form that you can fill, or our email address is beginnersnv@gmail.com, as you can see in the slide. Then we will we read out the reports to Bhante Dhammakusala Thero. We'll address those reports and provide you guidance on how to develop your mindful practice further. Would like to mention, from age 5 onward, all age groups and every human being around the world can practice mindfulness during the day with these key instructions, with the guidance given. So all are warmly welcome to practice, to keep joining to the every Saturday morning session and practice mindfulness daily. It's really essential you can practice mindfulness daily, then it's benefit all areas of your life in a positive way. Now, like I said, continue to practice your mindful practice according to the guidance given during the session, these sessions. That include the guidance on how to develop daily mindful practice. With that, Venerable Bhante Avasarai, there is a two report received today. I will read the first one, repeat from, I will read the first report from now on. Let me open my first report for today. Yeah, the first report. I'm going to start with the sitting meditation. Quick body scan and concentrating on breathing. Got very distracted with various thoughts. I have had stages where thoughts did not distract me anymore. However, with the lack of practice in the last few weeks, thoughts started storytelling a lot more than usual. Thoughts mostly filled with future planning. A list of things I have not done kept coming to my mind. Each time I identified this and brought attention back to the breath. Walking meditation. No formal walking meditation this week, but have been aware most times when going for a walk outside. Lifting and stepping off the shoe or foot was noted, but since walking outside is a little faster than walking meditation, less things were noted. The noise of the road is distracting from time to time. Engaging in storytelling a little less as mind aware that it needs to be awake for the hazard of the road. Mindfulness during the day that I have tried to be more mindful than other times. It was a visit to the dentist. Mine felt like all these practices need to be in place in preparation for this unpleasant task at hand. Each time the dentist used equipment to clean, I felt the hand clasp tight and then become aware of this and try to relax, but again from time to time found I have clasped my hands so tight again. Try hard to detach from the unpleasantness of this experience and think the body needs this for maintenance. Time felt like it was passing very slowly and the process was too slow. That's the end of the report.
Okay, thank you for presenting the report. Initially, I had a trouble finding a pen, so I was also thinking various things while listening to the report. But halfway along, I found the pen, so I am good. Okay, so now you can see that when you are not meditating, you can feel that the thoughts are proliferating, your practice is weakening. So that's a good observation. Although you didn't practice, you observed how the practice is weakening, how more and more thoughts are proliferating, how it is becoming harder and harder. So that's a valuable observation. Sometimes we can't meet the hours of the practice. We can't keep according to the plan. But still, if you notice the gap, if you notice the effect, then it's a valid observation. It's a good observation. At least you know when you don't practice, this is what happens. In a way, your faculties are, those faculties, concentration, the wisdom, those faculties are weakening. As a result, you feel more and more thoughts proliferating. You feel unnecessary fears in your mind. You feel worrying over little things. Why? Because now the faculties are weak. When the faculties are weak, it is natural that more and more thoughts proliferate. It is natural that you get unnecessary fears. It is natural that you worry over little things. When the faculties are strong, you can feel that there are no thoughts. No thought can come to you. No worry can come to you. Why? Because the faculties are strong. The concentration is strong. The wisdom is strong. It's like creating a barrier between these thoughts and your mind. It's like a protective layer between these worries and your mind. When they weaken, you can easily see how the thoughts are proliferating, how the worries are there, how the unnecessary fears are there. So this is the way, this is the way, this is the path. Sometimes you practice, you see the benefits. Sometimes you avoid your practice and you see the effects of that as well. So both observations are valid. Now you know what you have to do in order to reduce those thought powers, in order to get rid of those worries, in order to get rid of those fears, what you have to do. You know the thing that you have to do. You have to keep on practicing. That doesn't mean the thoughts will never come. That doesn't mean the worries will never come. That doesn't mean that the fears will never come. But you know, when the faculties are strong, I am protected. They act like a protective layer. And thoughts are there, they don't bother me. The worries are there, they don't bother me. The fears are there, they don't bother me. So that's the real strength of the practice. And when you are not practicing, when your faculties are weak, you can feel that this solid self. You can feel how you are worrying over little things. How going to the dentist, it's creating so much fear. It's creating so much worry. Just a little appointment for a few minutes, still you worry. Some people, they can't get the shots because they are afraid of needles. Just a tiny piercing on your skin, but still you have so much fear, you worry so much. Why? Because there's this solid self. So in Zen practice, there's this analogy of a drunken man. It says that if a drunken man fallen from a cart, due to that drunkenness, he is more flexible. He won't get so much hurt, so much injured. But a sober man fallen out of that cart will get so much injured, so much harm, because he has that solid self. He is not so flexible. He worry over little things. And he has this rigid body. So analogy of a drunken man in Zen Buddhism. It is valid. But it is not the alcoholism that promotes here. When you go to the dentist, if you can get some nitrous, then of course the worry will vanish. The worry will disappear. And there's this artificial smile on your face throughout the appointment. Why? Because of the nitrous. You loosen up a little. So that's how it is. So you have to keep on practicing, see the effects, see the results of the practice. Then you practice how the thoughts are there, how the worries are there, how the fears are there, but still they are not damaging you, they are not influencing you so much. But when you are not practicing, little things worry you for a long time. Little fears keep bothering you. So many thoughts in your head. So when you practice more and more, it's more like you become more and more flexible. It's more like you become more and more efficient. You have that flexibility. You have that efficiency. When that solid self is loosened up, you can really feel that your efficiency, your flexibility is increasing. It's more like going with the flow. Now you are not trying to fight everything in your life. Instead, you adjust accordingly. There's the action of non-action. It's not like not acting. Instead, you go with the flow and you act when only necessary. You act in the proper moment. And you realize that you become so efficient. You realize that this flexibility gives you so much power. Otherwise, in our life, we are fighting little things, unnecessary things. The stones on the path, we are fighting them. The trees on the path, we are fighting them. The wise person, he will just keep on walking without even paying attention to those stones, without even paying attention to those obstacles. He just keep on moving, avoiding these obstacles, avoiding these stones, avoiding these trees. Just like that flexibility that we get when we practice, when we keep on practicing, that flexibility will allow you to work more efficiently, and you realize that you are getting so many things done, but still that there is no worrying. There's not so much friction. Instead, you feel like you are traveling through air. Still, the friction is there, but it's not like the friction on the ground. It's totally different. It's not like the friction on water. It's aerodynamics that works. It's a totally different friction level that works. So you can feel you become more and more efficient. You become more and more effective in the things that you do. And you can function with a little energy. Even the meals, you don't have to consume so much in food. You don't have to waste so much energy. Instead, you increase the efficiency and you can survive out of little food and you can function better. The friction, that's where the energy losses. You fight the friction, you fight everything. It's like friction on ground. But gradually with practice, you feel that it becomes more like aerodynamics. It becomes more like friction in air. When that happens, you can travel with little energy. So that's the idea of the practice. Keep on practicing and you can share your experience once again.
Much may you, Bhante. Now I will move on to the second report of the day. Mindful sitting. After a quick body scan, and having adjusted the posture, the breath appeared soon after. This was felt around nostrils area, where in-breath was cooler and out-breath was warmer. Noted the length of in- and out-breath, which were at times long and then short. After a while, the attention was on the rhythm of breathing, which felt like roughly equal in length. This continued for some time. thoughts would merge but would pass away without proliferation. Breath become subtle and start a note it breaking up. There was a point when the sleepiness was setting in. Once it was noted, a bit of effort came in to be more mindful and avoid sleep. Towards the end of the session, felt numbness in the right leg. While observing the numb sensation, it became exclusive, arising and passing away around a larger area. Sat for 1 hour. Afterwards, while contemplating on the this session, noted how the rise and fall was observed in prominent breath, subtle breath, thoughts, and also in the numb feeling in parts of the body. Mindfulness during the day. It is easier now to notice situations where enough energy is aroused to make healthy decisions within difficult events. At other times, when mindfulness returns after being hijacked by emotions and having made mistakes, there is less compassion in the mind afterwards and more acceptance of mistakes. After learning that a close relative who is elderly had decided to take on short-term paid contracts from a private organization to look after multiple young people at the same time by providing them board and lodging, the emotions of fear, frustration, and annoyance came up in the mind. She has regular hospital appointments and restrictions that come as a result of old age, for example, hearing loss, etc. When asked why start work contracts now and how she would manage, we were told that it is hard to live alone in the house. Within brackets, her husband passed away a few years ago. Close the bracket. Hence the decision. Although the above mentioned emotion arose and it clouded the mind for a while, when the awareness returned to noting this, the annoyance and fear reduced considerably. Noted that there are things that can be resolved with discussion and things that can't. This was an event where dialogue wasn't working. This realization helped the initial conflict to diffuse. We are still concerned for the welfare of this elderly relative, but have enough peace in mind to just observe what happens in the next couple of weeks. If not, or the regular mindful practice, the situation could have become way bigger than it actually is. Dear Bande, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bande and the organizers. That's the end of the report.
Okay, let me start with that part that you mentioned, that you notice your breath breaking up, right? So that's what we were discussing in our talk. And initially we see a solid breath. That's an indicator of the solid self. Breath is an indicator of yourself, right? So initially this solid breath is there. you take that indicator and you keep on observing. Again and again, 1001 times, you observe this same breath. Not only you observe, you investigate whether this breath is changing. What is happening to this breath? Where is it coming from? Where does it go? That clear observation is there. You are not like bored and observing. Instead, you are attentive. You try to notice the subtle changes. And when you do that, you can really feel how the mindfulness is strengthening, how the faculties are becoming stronger. And when they are strengthened, you can really feel that earlier there was this solid self. Now it's not there. Instead, you can feel there's a whole array of tiny, 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 tiny selves. Earlier there was a solid self. Earlier there was a solid breath. Now the breath is breaking up. Now that solid self is breaking up into smaller, smaller pieces. This is the idea that we discussed in the thought, in the talk. Earlier there was this solid bundle of five things. Earlier there was this solid self. Due to that solid self, you take it me, mine, and myself. Now you start to see that yourself is breaking up. You say breath is breaking up. I am saying the self is breaking up. And when you start to see the gaps in between, when you start to see through this self, the result is numbness. You get bored. You feel that you have to go and do something. Save yourself. That's how you feel. That's the type of boredom that hits you. It's more like a numbness. You can't do anything. You are aware. Feel like asleep, but still you are not asleep. You are aware, something like that. It's more like a numbness. It's more like a boredom that you have never experienced before. Usually when you are bored, you can sleep easily. But this boredom is something different. You see through this solid self, you start to see the gaps in between, your self starts to break up, and you can see that this boredom hits you. You feel this need, you feel this urge to go do something. Your mind is screaming that you have to go save yourself. So this experience, we have to have in our life. We have to go through this experience again and again. Because this is what we have been avoiding in this whole life. This is the utter reality we have been avoiding. Now, through the practice, with the help of the practice, we start to observe this. First day, you are not so successful. But when next week, when you do for a week, you realize now I can stay longer. Now I have the strength to manage this boredom, manage this numbness. When you are young, you have to do this. When you are healthy, you have to do this. When there's no sickness, you have to do this. You have to prepare yourself. Because anyway, one day you have to face this. When the old age is upon you, you have to face this. When the sickness has taken control over your body, you have to face this. When your family members are departing, you have to face this. That's why that your elderly relative is saying that it's so difficult to live alone. In this entire life, we have been avoiding this. And when the sickness comes, you have to face it. When the death comes, you have to face this. When the old age comes, you have to face this. When the family members die, you have to face this. when your world collapses in front of you, you have to face this. So someday, one day, you have to face this. So in a way, we get prepared for that. Because usually when you are sick, when your family members die, when the old age is upon you, when the world collapses, although you see this, you have aversion towards this. You have aversion, you don't accept this, you don't have a pleasant attitude towards this. You feel aversion, you feel hatred. That's why that relative is saying, it's so difficult to live alone. You have been avoiding this, dealing with your husband. Now he has passed away. Now you are all alone. You have been avoiding this with the energy of your young body. Now the old age is upon you. That you have to face this. You have been avoiding this due to the health. Now the sickness is upon you. You have to face this. You have been avoiding this, building the world. Now the world collapses. You have to face this. When that comes, it is so difficult. So you understand their point of view, how they see the life, how they have aversion towards this. Someday, one day, everybody has to meet. Everybody has to face. But what happens is that if you haven't gone through a practice, usually we have aversion towards this. We don't accept this. So in a way, through the practice, you start to gradually accept this. You become more and more compassionate towards other people because this is the trouble they have been avoiding and this is the trouble they are facing. When they become sick, when they become old, when the other people die, family members die, when the world collapses, this is what they have to face. This numbness, this boredom hits them. It's a so different level, not the usual boredom that hits them. It feels like you have to go somewhere, save yourself. That's why they are saying, I have to start working with somebody. I have to spend few hours distracting myself. So in a way, it's a good decision for them because if they go through this, if they go through this loneliness, maybe they probably become sick in their body. They become sick in their mind. That's what happened to most people. They have this energy. They work for so many years. As soon as they retire, they are done. Or they live with the partner so many years. As soon as the other partner dies, they are done. Why? Because suddenly this starts to hit you. This boredom, this life-threatening boredom hits you. This numbness hits you. And you don't know what to do. You have only aversion towards it. You think that because the other person died, this is happening to me. Because I retired, this is happening to me. Because the world collapses, this is happening to me. Because the sickness came, this is happening to me. Because of the old age, this is happening to me. This is our usual way of thinking. That's the aversion that we have towards this. But the practitioner, they gradually face this. Not in a day, not in a week, but gradually, again and again, you go there, you feel the numbness, you feel how this boredom hits you. Again, you come back. Again, you come back to that solid self. Again, you feel that solid breath. Again, you go through the same practice. After a while, you feel again, there's no solid self. The breath is breaking up. The self is breaking up. Again, the numbness hits you. Again, you come back to your solid self. Again, you start your job, you work with your family. After a few days, after a few hours, you start practicing again. 30, 20 minutes, you go into this numbness, this boredom. So that way, gradually, you are meeting this. Gradually, you are facing this. It's like training people to go to outer space. They have lived in this gravity forever. If they suddenly go, their bodies break up. If they suddenly go, they go crazy. So in a way, gradually they are training themselves. Gradually they are training themselves for a lower level of gravity. For years and years, they train. For months and months, they train. And gradually, they become ready to go to the outer space. They are ready to live in a place there is no gravity. So that's the same way. That's how we keep on practicing. You experience this numbness. You return to your solid self. You do your day-to-day activities. Again, you experience this numbness. Again, you return to your solid self. You do your jobs and stuff. Again, you experience this numbness. That is the practice. So keep on practicing. You will get to see this numbness more and more. You will get to experience this boredom more and more. So that's the idea I want to give.
Thank you, Venerable Bhante. With that, we conclude today's reports. Now we open to the session, to the Q&A session today. So if you have any question, please raise your Zoom hand and we will give you the opportunity to ask the question from Venerable Bhante. I can see Rajikaka has raised the hand, so you can go ahead and ask the question.
Thank you, Nangi. Thank you very much. Sarai Bhante, my question is about the talk that Bhante delivered today. I know I have heard these things Bhante is talking about around last 6 months about like the world does not rotate around you. And first of all, I need to tell Bhante, I'm not challenging what you said. Just when I hear every time when you said something related to something, this topic, it just hit my head. This thought come to my head. So I just want to share with you. So around last 6 months on and off, I heard that Bhante said we need to understand the world does not rotate around you. I know like I'm negligible in this universe and I know I'm not in the middle of the universe, but I have heard that, you know, certain sutta like Sankaparaga Purisasa Kamo, that's one of my favorite sutta anyway. And I believe like what my understanding is my world built upon my sankalpa, my thoughts, my beliefs. So I know there are a lot more important things in this world, but I don't really care, I think. I just care that the things or the thoughts I gave the value, that's where I put all my effort and energy and, you know, focus. So even though all the other things, what's happening rest of the world, it doesn't really matter for me, but something happened to the things I really like or I'm very, really attached. And that's where it triggers me or hurts me. I think during the talk, you're talking about the strong or sudden reaction. I believe that the reaction, how strong or how sudden, will depend on the attachment I have to that particular thing. I know with the practice we can understand the attachment and overcome those the reaction and the attachment and everything. But I just want to highlight that there are so many important things in this world, but my world depend on like the beliefs and thoughts. Like around my sankalpa, I just want to share that. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Bhante.
Yeah, it's not me who is telling, it's NASA that's telling, right? So the James Webb telescope, it was launched a few months ago. So probably around the time period that you are suggesting, 6 months ago, right? So that's when we start to get more and more pictures of the distant galaxies. Right, so more and more evidence is there, and that the world is, or the universe is not rotating, centering you. So that's so you have to go and file a complaint to NASA, not to me. Right, I am just, you know, taking the pictures and information from them, and I am just presenting. Right, so anyway, the idea is that due to this strong self, due to this bundle of things that we feel, that we are getting triggered. When you are attached to a situation, when you are attached to a person, you get triggered, right? There is always that trigger. You have no control of it. That's the solid self that we are talking about. That's those five things wrapped together. It feels like a solid thing, and you get triggered. With the practice, we realize that we are seeing through this solid self. With the practice, we realize that this bundle of things, it's loosened up. When we see through this solid self, when that bundle loosens up, we can feel that naturally you don't get triggered so much. That's the idea of the practice. That's why that drunk person in Zen Buddhism, they don't care that much. You go to your dentist and you get a shot of nitrous oxide, then you don't care that much. Yesterday or day before, I saw this small clip on YouTube, that young boy, he was on nitrous, going to the dentist on nitrous, and couldn't remember anything. So you can see that due to the influence of the chemicals, that solid self is not there. So his memory is gone, but he can think, right? So the father is there recording him, and father is suggesting that this boy is it's sitting in a chair, and he is saying that this chair is the best chair I have ever seen. Then father is suggesting that you have a better chair at your home. Really? Do I have a better chair there? Then the father is suggesting that you have a mother and you have a father. Really? Do I have a mother and a father? I am your father. Really? Are you my father? So that's how he is responding to this situation, because he has no memory. That due to the influence of chemicals, of course. So that's how he views the world. If he had the memory, then he might recall that the chair is not so good. Chair at home is not so good. If he had the memory, he might recall that his father blamed him for something else, right? Then finally, the father is saying, you have two sisters. Two sisters? So if he had the memory, he might say that those sisters I don't like. Right? So that's how it is. When you are conscious, when you are not on the influence of any chemical, you have this solid self. But in the practice, we don't recommend chemicals. That's not lasting. Some people, they think that magic mushrooms are the spirituality. Some people, they think that alcohol, that's the spirituality. That's not what we recommend. Instead, we say, through the practice, you can reduce, you can see through this solid self, you can loosen this bundle. When it is see through, when the bundle is loosened up, you can see that you don't get triggered so much. You don't grab those things so strongly. Still, you get triggered, but you are not grabbing them so strongly. So that's the idea of the practice. That way, when you practice, you realize I am not the center of the universe. Instead, there's some other phenomena. I get so many photos from NASA, they are suggesting too. So that thinking pattern will change. Earlier, you had a self-centered thinking pattern. Now, that's not there. Even the thoughts, they are not with any significance. Thoughts are just thoughts. Clouds in a sky. This memory is just memory. Some other thing. The feelings are just feelings. You don't have to categorize them. Body is just body. The consciousness is the observer. That's all. Five things go in five different directions, and you have your problem solved. So that's the idea of the practice. Try to practice more and more. When you practice, you realize naturally this is happening. Although you are attached to a person or a situation, you don't get triggered so much. So that's the real peace that you can achieve. Otherwise, always this trigger will be there. Your beliefs will be there. Your ideas will be there. Your attachments will be there. So you have to find a lasting solution. The lasting solution is dissolving this solid self. More it is dissolved, better you feel. So that's the idea I want to give.
Thank you very much, Pandey. I agree with everything you said, but NASA didn't come and tell me all these things. You're the one who was telling us during last 6 months.
Go watch that video on YouTube. You'll figure it out. That video of that boy on nitrous.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Bante, for your advice. Much merits to you.
Thank you, Bante. Thank you, Rajivaka, for sharing your thoughts. Anyone who would like to ask a question, have opportunity to ask the question now. As I can see that there is no raised hands. So is that okay to end the, I can see Samantha's raised hand. You can go ahead and ask the question, unmute yourself, Samantha, and ask the question, please.
Thank you, Haringa. Sorry, I know time is running out as well, but just a quick question, Bante. Today's talk was really helpful for me. I really valued it because I had a lot of situations, I suppose with my mum, actually, and the person I'm actually caring for, and I had a few disagreements. So I was during the situations, the conflict that arose, anger during the situation, I was mindful now of the fact that there was anger, etc. But sometimes I'm just wondering, when you're low, when your body and mind is like run down, even that, how is find it difficult to stop oneself from reacting to the situation? Because I was trying to control not reacting to this little dispute with my mum, and especially as she's elderly, I was thinking of all the things and blah blah blah. But still, you know, I can't. You know, she's still got a sharp mind as well sometimes. And what Bante said today, what really interested me, so the fact that my samadhi, the concentration, if I were to practice, would help along with the sati. So I can see that's where I need to practice and that's where I'm lacking. That would help. Yeah. So basically, generally, my question is, you know, when you run down the body and the mind, physically, how can you stop yourself react? Because even though you've got mindfulness.
Okay, it's like this now. It is not happening within a day or two. It's gradually happening, right? So when you take your mind and body, when you have that grasp towards your mind and body, your thoughts are real to you. Your concepts are real to you, right? So that's how you get triggered. So if you can reduce this grasp, then of course the reaction would reduce. So that's the idea. So what I suggest is have a session for sitting practice, at least 20, 30 minutes daily. Keep on practicing. And when you do that, when you continue this for a few months, then you can really see what we are talking about. In a way, you understand a certain amount when we talk, but the real experience will come only when you practice. And when you practice, you can really feel that how this grasping is reducing. Grasping to your concepts, that's there. Grasping to your body, that's there. So this entire bundle, we consider it as a one thing. You can't say just body, you can say just mind. It's a single bundle. And that grasping is very real. When something happens, the pain is very real. You can't neglect that, right? So yes, a few days back, there was this person who was saying that when something happens, when I lose somebody, when I find a difficult situation, the short-term pain is very real. Although we know that this too is passing, that trigger is very real. That pain is very real, especially not the physical pain, the emotional pain that they are talking about. That emotional pain, short-term, it's very real. Then another person adding their thoughts, they are saying that that pain won't reduce. Right? Because as long as you have memory, every time you remember that incident, you get the similar type of a pain. Some people, they feel that emotional pain is higher. It is more troublesome. It is more difficult than the actual situation itself. They are called extreme dreaders, right? They fear the situation. They suffer more than the actual situation. Let's say family member dying, right? So they worry that this person might die, my mother might die, my mother might die. So they feel the emotional pain. When actually that happens, it's not so painful. They have suffered more than the actual scenario, actual situation in their mind. So they are called extreme dreaders. The emotional pain is stronger than the actual experience. So when you feel it, it is so real. Years have gone by, but still, when you recall that incident, you feel the pain, it is so real. So that second person is saying that pain is so real, pain won't vanish, but you get used to the pain. You adapt to the pain. Every time you experience that same memory, you feel the same pain, but you strengthen your mind, you adapt to that pain, you feel much more comfortable. So in a way, that's what's happening, right? The experience is there, the pain is real, but your strength, your level of strength will increase. So continue practicing and you can experience this for yourself. Oh, you can feel that these triggers are still there, but I'm not suffering. So formal practice is one of the important things. Then, of course, the day-to-day practice. But you have to make sure that every day, at least 30 minutes, continue it for a few months and see. One day you can forget, but to next day you can start. That way you try to continue for a few months with probably like at least 30 minutes of formal practice, sitting practice. Early in the morning is good if you can allocate some time.
Lovely. Thank you, Vanti. Sadhu. I can see the benefits of what Vanti is saying to build up my resilience. So then I can be in a better position to face these negative things. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vanti. Much merits to you. And thank you, Samantha. Today's end of the session of Q&A, and I would like to hand over to Namantha from now on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Merit Siranga, for conducting the Q&A session, and also much merits and heartfelt thanks to Pante. So we are kind of over our time allocation for today, so I will wrap up the program quickly for today. I would like to mention with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, and thank you and pass on merits to Bhante for participation in today's session, and hope these merits accrued will pass on to Bhante and allow Bhante to improve Bhante's own practice. And also I would like to thank and mention the name of the chief abbot of the Nisaranvane Forest Monastery, Most Honorable Bhante Udayiregal Dhammajiva Mahatheru, who requested this program to be formulated. And I wish these merits will pass on to the Chief Bhante and aid in Chief Bhante's own progress as well. Also, I would like to mention with thankfulness the wonderful organizers who initiated this program and who are sustaining this program with a lot of dedication and hard work. I will pass on the merits to all of you and wish your own mindfulness journeys will prosper and improve into the future. And also, I would like to pass on merits to all of you who are attending through Zoom and through the Facebook live stream, and pass on merits to all of you to improve your own mindfulness in this journey. So the session will continue on next Saturday as well, as it is scheduled on a weekly basis. And I would like to wish all of you a very happy and mindful week ahead. And until we see you next week, same time in the Sri Lankan time format, but if your time change in other regions of the world, just follow the Sri Lankan time. It will be 1 p.m. permanently on Sri Lankan time that the program will commence. So with that, I would end the Zoom session, and much merits to all of you, and see you next week. Have a mindful week ahead. Thank you.